That'll be Gaurav.
Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing the question and answer session. We are very, very grateful. We have His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Vishwambh Madhav Maharaj, and His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. So we shall start, and as and when others add, come, we will also ask questions to them, and we'll continue from the far end to the near end. So my first question is to Bhakti Vishwambh Madhav Maharaj. This is in Hindi and I'll translate it. Dear Maharaj, how to accept the dust from the lotus feet of Vaishnavas? Should we very respectfully ask them for it, or without their understanding somehow we have to collect it? How?
We will get our revenge. Vaishnava Padaraja Kuduli kya hai? Ye charan kuduli thodi hai. Ye shiksha anusar. Vaishnava, Vaishnava sangha, Vaishnava ka charan duli. Matlab Vaishnava ka sangha shiksha anusar palan karte. Ye matlab. अगर किसी को आदमी का कमोच्चारण का स्पर्श करते यू नो नाटक ड्रामा से लेकिन लेकिन शिक्षक का थोड़ी पालन नहीं करते मतलब कृपा थोड़ी मिलते कुछ नहीं मिलेगा गोरकिशोर दास बाबूजी महाशय से जो त्रिपुरा राजक से प्रणाम करते हुए ओ ठाकुर महाशय अब कुछ बोलेगा हम करेगा सच बात है ठीक है आप राजा का गाड़ी छोड़ो यहां से नवदीप भेजो अखंड भगवान का नाम ग्रहण करते ऐसे फिर राजा को डरते ऐसे अखंड कुछ नहीं करते ना त्रिपुरा राजा कर समझ गया क्या मतलब वो वैष्णव का कृपा चाहिए क्या मतलब ऐसे अब शिक्षा अनुसार पालन करते इवन फिर भी थोड़े से रश्मि एक किरण का शिक्षा अनुसार पालन करते जीवन पर इतने तक कृपाएं मिल जाएगी बस बट द क्वेश्चन वाज इन हिंदी ना आई हैड टू ट्राई व्हाट कैन आई डू आई जस्ट टोल्ड देम दैट दैट्स ऑल दैट यू नो दैट द डस्ट इज बेसिकली ओनली the instructions. If you don't, you follow the instruction, that much you get the dust. You know? Now, should you steal it? Wait a minute, you can't do that. It's like Narottam Thakur Mahasai said that Vaishnavera uchesta tabe morda what is it? Tabe mora mananishta. Ha, tabe mora mananishta. Right. But Thakur Bhaktivinod, in his Akalyan Kalpataru section, I think it's Uchvas, it's either Uchvas section or this Pratana Dainyamai or Pratana Lalasmai section, he says there, the Kripa Koro Vaishnava Thakur, Sambanan Janiya Bajete Bajete Abhimana Hau Dur. O Vaishnava Thakur, please merciful to me, please teach me the nature of relationship by which my day bodily conception of life will go far. Amita Vaishnava, E Buddhi Hoile, Tabi Abhimana Bhar. If I think that I'm a Vaishnava, if I have this conception that I'm a Vaishnava, then my bodily conception of life will rise. Pratishtasayasi hridaye dushibe hoibe narayagami. And I will, the desire for fame will waken in my heart, and surely I'll go to hell. He says, Amita, he said, Nija Shrestha Jani, Uttishthari Dani. If I consider that I am superior and I will give the remnants of my food, then surely I will go to hell. Tai Shishatava Takya Sarvada Nala Bi Pujakar. If I simply consider myself to be your servant, then I will not accept worship for anyone. Tomara Uchista Padajalarenu Saranishkapate Bhaje. I worship your dust of your lotus feet and your remnants. I worship that constantly. Tomara Charane Nishkapade Bhaje. He said, Bhumite, Lunite Bhumite Dhuli. And I will roll in the ground in expectation of that. So it is not a joke, actually. About Uchista, I remember I was with at a Ratha Yatra in Calcutta. And after all the Prabhupada disciples were finished eating, then the Bengali devotees who were serving prasadam, they jumped on Subhag Swami's plate after it finished. You know, they put some more rice on it and dal and whatever it was, and they just jumped on it. And I go, what are you doing? Are you his disciple? And Subhag Swami said, they know what they're doing. And then I was not satisfied. And I asked Bhaktivedya Purnamara, he said, all right, Maharaj, what's the Siddhanta here? What's the Pramanam? He said, if you have dependents, you know, like a householder has wife, children, if you have dependents, or dependence means you're disciples, then you can give. Otherwise, you're not allowed to give at Chista. If they're not your directly initiated disciples, you're not allowed to give. Well, if they're your Shiksha disciple, but it's not that they'll be your Shiksha disciple only at the time of stealing remnants. And they're not your Shiksha disciple when it comes to following your instructions. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur only gave his remnants of his food to his directly initiated disciple, no one else. So, basically, after that conversation, I was told later on that Subhag Swami made it his policy, you know. But anyway, but it was a fun thing. It was a fun thing of understanding about Uchista, the remnants of a Vaishnava or the dust of the Vaishnava, what it really means. Hare Krishna. Acha, you heard Prabhupada with your own ears say the same thing? Can you speak in the mic? Let everybody hear that?
You can just repeat that.
I don't remember that. I never see that. Maharaj, that's the same.
Now, Bhakti Vishwamadava Maharaj said, Srila Prabhupada said the same thing when he was asked that question. He said, only for direct disciples, no one else. So, it's confirmed. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, as Maharaj said, and then Prabhupada also answered the question in the same way. So, that's the answer.
Should we steal it? It depends on your sambandha. I think you have to have a, if you have a sambandha. In March, I think it was March of 1977, at the last Pandal program Prabhupada did in Bombay here, after his lecture, so many people rushed to touch his feet, and his senior disciples are trying to forbid them. And Prabhupada said, let them come, let them come, it's all right. And then he asked later on, why are they coming? Do you know why they're coming? Because I'm free from sex desire, he said. So there is a criteria of the person who will allow somebody to touch his feet. Because in Bengali culture especially, they always like to touch the feet of sadhus. They always want to transfer their problem on your head. You know, duty feet transfer. And like that. But we should not allow them. Just like one man in Bombay who was a, you know, a black market wala, his, you know, his face was really color. And he wanted to give Prabhupada a check, some donation or something. And Prabhupada told, he would not take it because hatse sparsha karte pap lagega. You know, so Prabhupada said, tell them he can put it in the hundi. Because Bhagavan is a papavidha, you know, he can purify, even the sun can purify the urinal. So, the black market money of somebody, you know, then put it in the hundi. You know, but Prabhupada said the hundi belongs to the deity. He told Guru Kripa, you cannot use the hundi for other things. The hundi belongs to the deity. You know? But Krishna can purify everything. Put it in the hundi. Good policy. Should we steal it? If you have some banda, if the person is your prerita, is your object of your mercy, then I think you should not have an objection to that. But steal it. I'll tell you one story that I actually stole it. Okay? I was with, in 1975, 74 Rath Yatra in San Francisco when I first got darshan of Prabhupada at the airport. We were all running like running after some movie star in the airport. Tulsi Das turned around and said, "Stop! Stop! Why are you guys running so crazy? Stop! You're in a public place." So we all jostled and shoved, and Prabhupada was surrounded by the sannyasis and other senior people. And he came out to the curb, and he was waiting patiently for the car to come and take him away. And I was with my godbrother Sridhar Prabhu, who is in Sunshine Coast now in Australia. And he was right next to me, and I said, "Hey, how did we get this?" "I don't know." And Prabhupada was right in front of us, and I thought, "How do we get this? I don't know." So we offered obeisances at his feet. And I remember I reached forward my index finger to touch the back of his shoe. And I was so scared that I would bring his attention to it that I just touched it ever so slightly and brought it back, you know, like I was afraid, like I was so scared, you know. We were very scared in those days. If you saw Prabhupada once a year, we thought we were, made our whole year successful if you saw Prabhupada once in a year in those days, you know. What to speak of touch his shoe. Or Pyari Mohan told a funny story in Bombay, hilarious, that after Prabhupada gave a lecture, he thought, "I will stay outside of the lecture place and I'll pick up Prabhupada's shoes. And Prabhupada will come out and he will put his feet in the shoe and I'll get the dust of his feet, you know, and he'll put his feet in the shoe." And like that. So Pyari was dreaming, you know, as he's anticipating, you know, the nectar that will come to him. And he's dreaming and he's holding on to the shoe, you know. And then all of a sudden, somebody taps him on the shoulder. "Hey, what's the matter? What's up? What's up? Prabhupada is waiting for you." "What do you mean?" "He's waiting for you to put the shoe down so he can put his feet in it." "Huh? What?" And he put the shoe down. Prabhupada slipped on his feet and choop, he was gone. So Pyari goes, "Oh, I didn't get a chance to slip his shoe on his foot, you know." He told me that story. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. This is to Soliness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. We see in Srimad Bhagavatam, though devotees take role of king or ministers, still their relationships with other devotees are sensitive. But when we take some role, we either spoil relation by being too strict or lose gravity of rules if we are not strict. How to balance, Maharaj? Please guide. As managers, this seems very important.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Thank you for managing so nicely. In the Bhagavatam, these great personalities were always conscious that I am the servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada was in the highest position in relationship to all of his disciples. He was representing God. He was our founder, Acharya. He lifted his disciples, many of them, from decadent, sinful, non-religious life Yet Srila Prabhupada revealed his own mind. He said, I see all of you as the representatives of my Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada didn't think himself to be the master of his disciples. He considered himself the servant of his disciples. And he was serving them by accepting the role of their master. That is the spirit of a devotee in whatever position we have. Maharaj Yudhisthira, Bhante Dev, he was a king of the whole world. But yet he was fasting for everyone's spiritual advancement. Because what the king does, everyone got so much benefit because he is the leader. And you know the story, how he fasted for many days until he was on the verge of death. And then he had a big plate of prasad to share with his family, who was also fasting with him. And some Brahmin came and said, oh, Bhante Dev, king, I am very hungry. Please feed me. So he fed the Brahmin to his full satisfaction. What was left? Just who came next? Was a Shudra, yes? Came and said, Bhante Dev, I am very hungry. Please feed me. He gave him all the rest. He fed his family and then gave all the rest of the food to this person. And then this person, who was by caste, not even within the caste system, he had a whole pack of dogs with him. He said, please feed my dogs. They are hungry. All he had was some water. Fed the dogs. And then a chandala came. There was only a little water left, just enough to save his life. Now, you don't get any fame by giving some water to a chandala. It's not that, you know, everyone would be offering, you know, what a great thing he has done. The chandala said, I'm starving for water. Do you have any water? And Bhante Dev knew if he gave that water, he would die within minutes. And he was in ecstasy. He folded his palms and offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That I do not desire any other benediction. I don't want liberation. I don't want wealth. I don't want power. I don't want mystic powers. The only benediction I ask from you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, that in every birth I may take, give me the opportunity to sacrifice my life for the welfare of others. In giving this water to this chandala, which means in giving my life, I will never again have to suffer from hunger or thirst or moroseness, lamentation or birth or death. And then he gave that water. And just when he was about to give up his life, all of those personalities came before him in the form of demigods. We tested you because we wanted to show the whole world for all time to come. What is a Vaishnav? What is the spirit of a real king, a real leader? He felt himself to be the servant of every living being. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. From a spiritual perspective, we have no other position except the servant of the servant of the servant. As far as our roles within society and within the world, there is certain categorized hierarchy that has to be there. There's the guru, there's the disciple, there's the teacher, there's the student, there's the temple president, and there's everyone in the temple. There's the father and the mother and the children and the grandchildren. There's the boss and there's the employee. These roles have to be responsibly performed. But what makes it all spiritual? When we remember our constitutional position and keep that spirit in whatever role we're in, that we are the servant of the servant of the servant, which means we are servants of everyone. So you may be giving leadership as the humble servant of that person you are leading. If you maintain that spirit, you are Krishna conscious. As soon as you think, I am Prabhu, I am the master, you're fallen internally. So in whatever position, this is the key to success in bhakti.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. This is Chandramouli Swami Maharaj. When King Yayati asked for youth from his second son, he refused to give it on the basis of the statement, if it is necessary to satisfy senses in youth so that it should not disturb later stage of life. Will you please enlighten about this?
There are four sons, Yadu was the one that refused because he knew that ultimately Krishna would appear within his dynasty, and so he had a spiritual motivation for refusing. Puru was the one that was He was the one that actually exchanged his youth for his father's old age, Yayati. And I forgot the names of the other two, but this was one of them, the other two, right? So they were banished because they disobeyed their father, who, as explained in the Vedic culture, is like a guru. Parents are also seen within the Vedic culture as superiors. One of the austerities of the body is to honor and respect superiors, and it says mother and father also within that category. So he committed an offense, and therefore him and along with his brother were banished. So ultimately his reasoning was faulty. But in no scriptures does it say, at least that I can understand, that since the principle of sense enjoyment is a reason for refusing a superior. Of course, you might look at it from the other side. His father, King Yayati, wanted it because of sense enjoyment, the exchange. But still, he was in a subordinate position and he had to follow the instructions of his father. And therefore, he was considered, both of those sons that refused were, the word mutra and putra was used within that explanation where, from the same organ, a son comes.
and one is like urine, and the other one's a good son. So they were considered like urine. They were rejected within the family, within the society, and therefore they were banished. So their rule, their reasoning was faulty. Now the question is youth meant for sense gratification? It seems like that's the ultimate question. And based on that principle, should we satisfy our senses in youth so we can get fulfillment of that desire and then go on to, we say, renunciation? That seems to be the question, yes? Yeah? Seems like that's the question. Yehi samsparsaja boga dukha yona yevate avanta vanta kuntaya natesha ramate buddha. Scriptures explain that sense gratification is a source of suffering. So within the Vedic culture, there is what is called marriage. And that allows for a certain, what we say, controlled form of sense gratification, or sense satisfaction, we might say, in order to, one, fulfill those desires in youth and then to, what we say, later on become renounced. But it seems like within that particular pastime, using that as the standard for the question, that they weren't thinking in that way. They were just saying that, you know, we have to satisfy our senses. Therefore, we can't be renounced later on. So I guess the conclusion of that, I'm not exactly clear exactly how that is understood within the context of family life and youth. We can take it from two sides, that ultimately sense gratification is not a valid, sense satisfaction is not a valid reason for refusing superiors. So I'll leave it at that, unless someone in one of the other Maharajas would like to comment on that.
All right. Thank you, Maharaj. Since there are no comments, we'll go to the next. This is to Bhakti Vishwamba Madhava Maharaj. When a person is not in Krishna consciousness, and by the influence of material energy, that person is put in miserable situation of life, then that person takes to Krishna consciousness. When that person starts practicing devotional service, then Maya starts dragging that person back from devotional service by interfering with devotional service in the form of test. So what is actually the role of Maya? Because in both the conditions, the person is miserable due to Maya.
Thankless task. Durga chati iti durga. You cannot cross over her very easily. She is like a fort. Umapati Swami told me there was a Chinese proverb that marriage is like a fort. Those who are on the outside want to get inside, and those who are inside want to get outside. Or the joke is there that when a newly married man is happy, we know why. When a 10-year married man is happy, we wonder why. You know, so it's not a word, it's a sentence, a life sentence. You're in the slammer for 40 years, you better like your jailmate. These are all practical things. Very practical. And these jokes were not made by brahmacharis, incidentally. They were made by householders. This is reality. Reality TV. This is reality. The Maituni Agara is described in the Bhagavatam. Pumsastriya Maituni Bhava Metam. Tayor Mito Hridaya Granthimahu.
Atho kriya kshatra sutta aptavitai janasimo hoyam aham mameti. The material energy poises this. This is the shackle, maitunya agara, the shackles of enjoyment. It is a test. Maya means mercy. So she's simply fulfilling your previous propensity. She's simply testing you to see what kind of Krishna consciousness you've got. It's like Prabhupada described it, that Maya duty, thankless task, is to try to allure us in so many ways to make sure that no nonsense will enter the spiritual world. That is her service, their thankless task, to make sure no nonsense will bother Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada said in 1971 in Sydney when he installed Gornatai, they're now at the farm there. And the same statement he made when he installed Radhakunja Bihari in Detroit in 1976. My dear Lord, I have asked you to come to the land of the Malechas, and I pray to you, please give them intelligence so that you may not be inconvenienced. So we always inconvenience Krishna in so many ways, although he's Dayalu Sagar, although he's the mercy of so much mercy, so kind, so compassionate, and he only wants just even a token of service. He expands it as if it's so great and so nice. And whatever defects a devotee has, that is very small after some time. Krishna minimizes. Gauranga is known as Bhakta Dosha Hanta. So another thing that came to mind in this connection is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's last verse of Vrindadevi Astakam, that Bhakta Vihina Aparada Lakshai Kshipaschakamari Taranga Madhye, that if somebody is devoid of devotion, and who by the force of their aparadas, their bad mentality, has slipped into the vices of lust and greed and anger, etc., this is the result. So if somebody is maintaining some sex attraction, it is probably due to his japa. Is that overly simplistic? You ask any householder that's about 50, 60. When they're young and they're 20, they may say that that's very simplistic. You can trace any problem a devotee has got to his japa. But you ask them when they're 60 years old. You ask them again. They say, probably you could trace it to their japa. Because if one is chanting Hare Krishna sincerely and serving sadhu sincerely, where is the question of material desire remaining in the heart? If you're actually sincerely serving. But if there, Prabhupada said advancement means that there's lust and greed. Go away from the heart. This is the test. Anybody can test what kind of advancement they're making when greediness and lustiness are going away. If that is still in the heart, then it must be your chanting. It must be your Seva Baba. Or what are you chanting? You're chanting Bhukti Nam. You're not chanting really Nam. You're chanting Bhukti Nam. So Maya will test us, but that test should make us very afraid. And if you run to her, Tosirani, if you run to her, my dear mother, there's nobody will have me. No one will have me. Please. And if you associate with her, Sharanam Prakripamaiya Sharanam Prapanna, she gives mercy to those who take shelter of her feet. Sharanam Prapanna, like I said last night, Sunandad said, 50% perspiration and 50% ashraya. If you're not prepared to do the perspiration, it's not a priority. We don't have time to serve her. We're so busy, maxed out with our working hard day and night for a headache. I just don't have time to serve her. If you don't have time to serve her, you will never know who she is. You will always remain theoretical. Devotional service will always remain theoretical. But when you serve substantial Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis like her, Anitya Leela Kingari, an eternally liberated servant of the Lord, then it is a game-changing situation. Kripa Mahiya Sharanam Prapanna Vrinde Namaste Charanada Vindam. She can destroy your lust. She can destroy this greed. She can kick this out. In the obstacles in the path of devotional service, Satsuru Maharaj wrote Prabhupada, he wrote Prabhupada a letter in the 1970s or 60s, late 60s, when he talked to Prabhupada saying, I have many obstacles. You follow my instruction, Prabhupada told Satsuru Maharaj, and I can kick out all those obstacles. So that it is Sharanam Prapanna, taking shelter of the Vaishnavas and the process and Tulsi Rani like that, then these obstacles will go. And if the obstacles are still there, then Maya, we are embracing the obstacle. Oh, you know, it's like we're like the analogy was giving that we're embracing the tree. Please let me go. Please let me go. But we're embracing the tree. You know, you want the tree. You want the Maya. Oh, Maya, please leave me alone. But it's very attractive. It's like very attractive. Deli kaladu, jo kaya wo pastaya, jo na kaya wo bhi pastaya. But that is, Umapati Swami told me in Mayapur, no, Prabhupada quoted that. That is about prostitution in Delhi. He told me, Prabhupada told me specifically that meant prostitution. That statement. So there is always this allurement in the material world because this is the last, one of the shackles which you keep you in the material world. It's only meant for Krishna service. That it has to be used very, very restrictively. The whole idea of a sacrifice, like Chandramouli Maharaj was referring to, about, I was meditating on, when he was talking, I was meditating on the shloka from the Bhagavatam, that mamisha madhya seva nityastu jantur nahitattu chodana. The Bhagavatam, the Vedic literatures may regulate meat eating and suragrahi and liquor drinking and vivaha, vyavista, illicit sex connection. He said, by suragrahi, by sacrifice, by somarasa, by vivaha yagya, by marriage, and by sacrifice, gomeda, ashrameda, like that. Nahi tatra chodana, it is ishta, it is actually given to vairagya ishta, to give a sense of renunciation. Even if you have to do the religious act of having a child, etc., there is soul. Prabhupada said it, I heard it in Atlanta, soul. Much trouble. And my jaw dropped. It's like Prabhupada wanted to save us from so much trouble. Legal or illegal? So much trouble. So only the Vaishnavas, the service of the Vaishnavas saves anyone, male or female, from so much trouble. Mame vaye prabhyante, mayame tam tarantite. Krishna says it in Gita clearly. Who does that? Who does that, prapadyante? Who does it? Very rare. Therefore, Rupa Goswami Prabhupada says, Duskaratvara virale dve sakyat manivedane kesam chideva dhiranam lebate saranamita of the Navanga Bhakti. Two processes of sakya and admanivedana are very difficult. Who gives everything to Krishna? Krishna is not interested in what you put in front of him, your sakar mungfali, you know, while you're eating palak paneer in the back. He wants what's behind your back, your kam, krodha, lobha, moha, and matsarya, what you're hiding, your skeletons in the closet. Give that. Then Krishna will be your friend. Who gives everything to Krishna? Very few. And therefore they only get. They don't get. And Maya is coming with her allurements, you know, her neon allurements of sex agitation and so many agitation. This agitation has to be turned into love by the mercy of a Vaishnava. Even fall down, Prabhupada said in the severest ways, like in the 7th canto, chapter 15, verse 31, where Narada Muni was blasting about Vantasis. Prabhupada says, very difficult to make advancement. And purported Prabhupada says, very difficult to make advancement unless they meet a pure devotee of Krishna. So only Shuddha Vaishnavas and pure devotional service can turn the kama the Hridaya Granthi, the heart knot in the heart, into love for Krishna. That's the only way how lust can be destroyed. Otherwise, it is a condition to keep you in the material world. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. This is to His Holiness Radhanath Swami. I am eagerly waiting for initiation. When will be next initiation ceremony? Please protect my Krishna consciousness and accept me as your insignificant servant of your servant.
Why did you ask this question?
I'm just reading out as it is, ma.
Just leave it as it is.
The question is coming from Gopinath, isn't it?
Give another question. Puna Prashna, give another question.
During the birth of Sri Krishna, all demigods offered their prayers and addressed the Lord as Giridhari and Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if all the demigods knew Krishna is the Lord, then why the pastimes with Indra and Brahma happen?
Hare Krishna. By Yogamaya potency. Krishna sensed pride in his devotee Indra. So in order to teach him, actually to protect him, Krishna tells Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanaradaya Sambhavami Juge Juge. In order to annihilate the miscreants, the demons, protect the devotees and reestablish the principles of religion, Krishna comes. But there are many levels. Because the greatest demon within is pride. And Indra was being defeated by that demon within. So Krishna, it was his mission to protect his devotees. So he covered Indra's knowledge of him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead for that purpose. Even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, all the devotees, Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, Gadadhar was still not born, but they were all doing puja and tapasya and Harinam Sankirtan practically day and night, begging the Supreme Lord Krishna to descend. And on that lunar eclipse night, they could all feel so much ecstasy. Haridas and Advaita were dancing in jubilation because they felt that the Lord had appeared. And Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaitacharya, she came to Sachimata's place where she gave birth. And as soon as she saw little Gauranga, she thought, this is Krishna of Gokul who has now just appeared in a golden complexion. She knew. But then the next day, nobody knew. I'm sure she must have told Advaitacharya, but they all were covered over. And they just thought he was little Nimai Pandit. And one day, when he was just a little boy, Vishwarup would be at Advaitacharya's house all day long, because he was so frustrated seeing all these scholars who were just so puffed up because of their Sanskrit scholarship, because of how many disciples and students they had. There was no devotion to Krishna. So Vishwarup would not talk to anybody. He just spent the whole day at Sri Advaita Prabhu's house, Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. And Sachimata told Nimai, go bring Advaita. I mean, go bring Vishwaroop at Advaita Prabhu's house. So he was a little boy. It said he was clothed in the four directions. Body covered with dust from so much childish play. He came and he said, Vishwaroop, Mataji's calling you for prasad. And he smiled. And they were all doing Harikatha, Harikirtan. They all looked at him. Advaitacharya, Thakur Haridas, Srivas, Sri Nidhi, Sri Ram, Sripati, they were all there. And they looked at little Nimai. They couldn't chant. They couldn't even speak about Krishna. All they could do was look at this child, gazing upon him. They couldn't even blink their eyes. And then little Nimai just pulled his brother by the dhoti, and they all both ran away. And they still just were speechless. And Advaita Prabhu, he was feeling, I'm experiencing the same ecstasy as seeing Krishna. Why? Who is this child? Who is this little boy? There was not the slightest clue that he was Krishna. Until he returned from Gaya many years later and revealed himself to his devotees. So they knew, but for the sake of the Leela, Krishna covered even his whole incarnations over. So similarly, the demigods, they prayed to the Lord Krishna who was in the womb of Devaki. But then by the Lord's own will, for his own purposes, he would cover them over. So they did not remember. This took place with Indra because he wanted to protect Indra from the demon of pride. And ultimately, Indra, he surrendered to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But later on, when the same Krishna from Dwarka took the Parijata tree, Indra declared war on him. Yes? He again forgot. This is another lesson, that even if you're a devotee, if you allow pride, or allow greed, or allow a sense of proprietorship to become prominent in your life, you actually forget Krishna. You forget your relationship with Krishna. It happens to all of us on another level. We're standing in front of the deity. We know the deity is Krishna. But sometimes when we allow envy or anger or pride or any of these enemies to go unchecked, we commit offenses right in front of the deities. We talk prajalpa right in front of the deities. We know that Krishna is not different than his name, but yet we fall asleep right in front of him.
Hare Krishna.
So we're thinking so many things. So Maya covers us over. And we were speaking of Bharat Maharaj. He was so Krishna conscious. But due to neglect, he was completely covered over. So it is a lesson for all of us. If we allow, even as devotees like Indra, pride to become prominent within our lives, unless we check it through humble service spirit, it will cover our Krishna consciousness and we will forget Krishna. So if even the demigods become covered over, what is our position?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. This is to Chandramouli Maharaj. Unless one controls tongue, One cannot control the belly and the genitals. In our temple, there are a lot of feasts practically every day and every 2 days. Nobody became Goswami by eating sweets regularly every day. What is the solution for this? How to control senses? For one level of devotees, eating sweet is nectar and it must. But one level of renounced devotees, eating sweet is poisonous. Which level is best to become a Goswami?
I would like to say something before Maharaj answers. You are asking the right person. I'm going to reveal some things about Chandramali Swami. In the Brahmachari Ashram on that muddy mountain, he, for the purpose of making sure the Brahmacharis performed severe austerities, he was made the head cook.
He was what? He was made the head cook?
Yeah.
Make sure that everybody would be austere.
Yeah. He was so worried that we would fall down due to eating prasad that would agitate us. He heard that too much protein makes you lusty. Yes? So, out of his parental affection, or whatever it was,
there was no protein.
He wanted to protect us. The breakfast. Do you know what oats are?
Oats is heavy protein.
Prabhupada said oats was horse food.
It's
carbohydrates.
It's carbohydrates.
Now, usually people boil it in water, and it's nice and creamy, or boil it in milk. But what he would do is he would put it in a big wok. Yes? And then we didn't have gas or electricity. We only had wood fire. And the wood always burns very uneven. And he would just light a fire and the fire would be blazing. And he would just put the oats dry in the wok and stir it. And he was so expert that every day, systematically, half the oats were burnt black and half were raw white.
They burnt black and half were white?
Yeah. Raw and burnt.
Raw and burnt.
Yeah. It was yin-yang.
Yin-yang.
There was some balance. And then there was this skim milk, which so skim that it was like white, whitish water.
Took all the cream out from the Adidas.
Everything.
The Adidas, right? Made it sweet.
And it tasted so bad. The only thing good about it was we were told to put peanuts in it to give it some flavor. Now, those peanuts were the only sense gratification we had. In India, called them ground nuts. And they were also, half of it was usually black and half was white. Now, there was maybe 25 brahmacharis, and his mathematics was that if they have too many peanuts, they'll fall down because there's protein in peanuts. So he would count the peanuts.
Only 20 each, right?
20 brahmacharis, how many each? Four or something like that?
We started with 8 peanuts apiece.
8 peanuts apiece.
And then you went down.
Then, no, there was a protest, so I went up to 13.
Okay, there was eight peanuts apiece. That means he would sit there. I would go in the kitchen. It would all be full of smoke, and his eyes would be all red, and he would just be like, 1, 2, counting out 80 peanuts.
And I one time I asked him, why don't you just, you know, approximate and pour it in? You'll save a lot of time. He said, no, no, no. I don't want to make anyone fall down. And then there was protests. It was like, really, negotiation. Serious negotiation. And ultimately, brahmacharis were ready to leave the ashram. Temple president had to, like, intervene and order him to put more peanuts. So there was a settlement for 13 peanuts per brahmachari.
You want to get married? Is it like that? Is that what meant leaving the ashram?
Something like that. So anyways, this this question about
you prasad, really want me to answer this question.
Is, you are asking the right person.
With that background, you want me, with that background, you want this.
But I warn you. Before he answers, beware. Is there another question?
Wait a minute. Should he
deflect the question? That's the question.
No, he should answer.
He should answer it.
What form of Vedic knowledge should we use to answer this question? Should we use example, logic, anuman, or should we use shastra?
Take your choice.
I'll start with shastra. There is a statement in the second canto. Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that one who desires to eat very opulent prasadam is calling Cupid. They're calling Cupid. In other words, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur included that in that song. And to control the tongue means to control the other senses. So prasadam is meant to control the tongue. And the principle of control is not too much and not too little. But taking Srila Prabhupada's statement in regards to how we should accept varieties of prasadam, he says that one should take a little bit of the nice prasadam maha, and then the rest should be very simple, nutritious, healthy foodstuffs. And that way, one can control the senses nicely and go on in devotional service. If we become attached to eating nice prasadam, then that's an attachment. And it's hard to control the mind. It's hard to control the senses. And ultimately, in contact with the objects of the senses, then the mind becomes restless and, what we say, very much it goes for those objects. So unless we are strict in our personal, what we say, day-to-day activities of speech and eating, those two things, then when the senses come in contact with the sense objects, then the mind gets dragged to try to satisfy using the senses. So the principle of Krishna consciousness is simplicity. So try to, and this is up to the temples, to consider the needs of the devotees, not only nice, opulent prasadam as a way to make the devotees happy. The food should be nutritious, simple, and then some maha should be there. Now, on feast days, that's a different story. But not every day is a feast. It shouldn't be like that. Otherwise, it becomes very hard to control the mind and senses. And without controlling the mind and senses, one cannot chant the holy names. Without chanting the holy names, everything's finished.
Hare Krishna. Your words are like a feast, Maharaj. Thank you. This is to Bhakti Vishwamba Madhava Maharaj. Each one of you must have gone through turbulent times in mind before you achieved the mercy to follow Srila Prabhupada. Kindly clarify how you overcame them. This is a question by a struggling devotee.
I remember walking home in April of 1973, I think it was, walking home from the temple as a congregational member. And it must have been on a Wednesday because the full moon was shining. And I was reflecting that what is going to happen to our society after Srila Prabhupada departs this world? And in, at least I had no knowledge then that Srila Prabhupada was giving shelter to congregational members as well. I had no understanding. I thought if you need to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, you have to be a member in the institution, in the temple. So reflecting on that, then I, looking at the full moonshine, I was thinking, he may leave soon. I better join soon. So, the idea that Vaishnava Sangha is sudurlabha, sudurlabha bhagavatam hiloke, very difficult to obtain. Meeting a bona fide spiritual master is described as if it is difficult, as if in the ocean of material existence there is a log. And in that log there is a knot hole on that log. And what is the chance that a sea turtle will poke his nose through that knot to drink air? It is that rare to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and a bona fide society of devotees. So it is very rare. And Srila Prabhupada was only doing what Gauranga Mahaprabhu was doing. Papi tapi jatta chilo hari nama uddariro tara shakshi jagadi madai. He was simply doing that humbly. As Radhanath Swami said, considering all the devotees to assist him was simply representatives of his spiritual master. He's simply humbly doing it, wonderfully, empoweredly, with great conviction, with great enthusiasm, and with lack of any agenda, but to serve them. And therefore, ISKCON was spreading in those days. So that is the obstacle. If the nectar is so great, then you're ready to cross over the obstacles, whichever they may be. The obstacles become opportunities to surrender. For those that are serious, the opportunities are there. Like Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad in Chaitanya Charitamrita was referring to how difficult it is to surrender to Lord Chaitanya. And he was describing about the illusory energy Maya. And he goes, oh Maya, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. It's so difficult. But if you get the mercy of devotees and the urgency comes in the heart, then you can cross over any obstacle to achieve. It is a test by Maya. What do you really want in life? You want bhukti? You want mukti? What do you want in life? What is your motivation? Are you approaching God for realization? Give me a house by a sea and a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. What do we really want in life? So it is a test. But sometimes the train will leave the junction, whether you're on the train or not. If you understand that the train will come soon, you had better move and get in your seat if you want to go. So That was the expediency in the early days of ISKCON, that we should not miss this opportunity of human life. We should not miss this opportunity. And if you don't take it up, you will miss the boat. You will miss the train. And you have only yourself to lament. Because you missed the opportunity. So that was a lot of these things in the early days. Because Srila Prabhupada was elderly, and he kept warning us, I'm an old man, and any time I may pass, you take up this Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we were being repeatedly warned, time is short, do the needful, soon, don't procrastinate. So that's how I remember. Vairanath Maharaj, Chandramali Maharaj, anything to add there?
Just two quick announcements. Is it necessary for grahasthas to take vanaprastha? What household responsibility one should complete before taking vanaprastha? What challenge one has to face after taking vanaprastha?
Hare Krishna. It is a very essential part of progressing toward pure devotional service. Even those devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who were paramhamsas as grihasthas, still, when their children were grown and able to provide for themselves, they took the vanaprastha lifestyle as an example for others. Now, the spirit of vanaprastha is what is important. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni tells how the husband and wife, they leave home. They go to the forest. They eat only the roots from the ground and the berries from the trees. And they wear only the bark and the skins of trees. Not too many of us could do that. But the principle is what is important. The principle of focusing our maximum energy on devotional service. That now the children can provide for themselves. We have performed our duty to them of raising them, putting them through school, getting them married, unless they're brahmacharis. And they have some occupational sustenance to hold on after that is unfavorable for pure devotional service. At that time, the husband and wife, they may be living at home, even in a city or in a holy place, but they're putting maximum time, not in the botheration or disturbance for these worldly things, but for Krishna consciousness, because the dusk of life has come. After 50 years old and beyond, the notices that death is coming soon are there. So we should not waste time. We have really no other duty except to focus on bhakti. And that spirit is very important. To really give our life to the mission in ISKCON, to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, to our sadhana, and no more material distractions. Minimize it as far as possible. And no more sense gratification. At that point, the husband and wife are simply a team for bhakti. Kailash, you have heard that story many times. He always had a reason why he just couldn't let go. And factually, Maya will always provide innumerable reasons why we cannot let go. But according to the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, at a certain age, at a certain time, when our family is developed, and they can do it, there will be innumerable reasons why we cannot let go. But the emphasis on vanaprastha is there. Because at that point, we should cut it as far as possible. Not allow Maya to give any more excuses. Krishna will help our children if we surrender to Krishna. And give our life and soul for the mission of Sri Guru and Gauranga. That is how Prabhupada practically encouraged vanaprastha in the world we live in today.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. This is to Tulnis Chandramouli Maharaj. How should one dance? In etiquette books, it is said one should dance very gracefully. But during intense kirtans, seeing everybody dancing furiously, it becomes difficult. I am confused.
I have no experience with this question. Everything should be done in the mood of pleasing the Lord. And also with that consciousness comes the mood of pleasing the Vaishnavas. So when we're chanting, leading the kirtan, or we're dancing, or anything we're doing, that should be the consciousness. Everything is done directed towards the Lord for the pleasure of the Lord. And we know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized these things, chanting, dancing, Vaishnava association, feasting, philosophical discussions. These things are paramount, supreme within our practice. But still, that mood is always there. It's done as a service to the Lord. So sometimes the kirtans do get, when we say, intense, and that takes us. So, in dancing, we can dance to inspire others to dance, and we can also dance to please the Lord, both. So that should be the mood there. No, not for trying to show off how good we dance, or how attracting attention in that way. That may come, but as soon as that consciousness starts to come, we should immediately kick it out. So one feels inspired. Prabhupada says when you're chanting, and you're actually chanting, and you're absorbed in the kirtan, then the desire to dance becomes awakened. And then the body starts to move like that. So it becomes somewhat spontaneous. But then again, we have to be careful not to let it become a show or something other than that. Always done in that mood. So we should do it to inspire others, and we should do it to also to please the Lord both.
Thank you, Mara.
Hey, I have a question for that. Like in ISKCON, sometimes they dance in very many, there are many different moods in different temples. We have 385 temples in ISKCON, and there are different managerial moods and different moods. So in kirtan, without any deep instruction on how it's done, in 1970s, we saw what Srila Prabhupada taught us how to do in kirtan, how to dance. We learned everything from Prabhupada, cooking, deity worship, preaching, we learned everything from Prabhupada. And we danced also, in Prabhupada's day in a particular way. Now, after Prabhupada's departure, there are many different styles of dancing now. So, you know, like, for example, they like to, you know, lock hands and they spin like tops until one person falls down. Or they got the tunnel program, you know, where they make the bridge and they go underneath and like that. So many different styles. We never saw that. At least I didn't see that in 75, 76. I didn't see that with my eyes, that in front of Srila Prabhupada we would dance like that. So the question is, how do we take new styles of dancing that we didn't see? You know, is it legal? You know, that's the criteria, the doubt that may arise in the mount. Is it legal? Is such dancing legal?
Your question is whether Prabhupada would approve of such things if... I don't really find that very inspiring. This holding like this and spinning around is more like a tug of war. I mean, there is a dance like that is there within the culture, but it's not done like that, the way we do it, to see who's the strongest and knocks the other person down. It's not a macho thing. That macho thing is really, really, really against the whole principle of dancing. It should be thrown out. And usually what happens, somebody goes fly into somebody watching, and that person who's watching gets crushed. I think, you know, in the Radha Gopinath handbook, it's mentioned about the culture of dancing, and they make that point that we shouldn't dance like that, right? In the Brahmachari handbook there, it's mentioned. So I don't think that's a good idea. This tunnel thing, if you want to get very specific, it's kind of like a ballroom thing. It doesn't really, I don't know, I give my own opinion. I just don't see anything that is connected with our culture in that type of dancing. What Radhana Swami said yesterday is the standard of people who want to dance together. This tunnel thing is like bringing everyone together and doing it together. Maharaj was saying, the circle dancing, it's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Devotees dance in circles. So why don't we do that kind of dance if we want to bring devotees together instead of this other concoction?
How did Gauranga dance? How did Gauranga, is there Shastric? How did Gauranga and the Panchatattva dance?
Well, Prabhupada explained that he taught us what is it the Swami stepped. But he said sometimes if you feel a little see, that is all right, but we shouldn't make it a show. You can't. I mean, in the what is it? The Sachi Sudava, what was it? That song. Yeah, the first it says that Lord Chaitanya was always developing novel dance steps. You know, there's one line in there. But I don't think we can imitate Lord Chaitanya because he's in a spontaneous mood of devotion. And spontaneity fits within the category of, you know, of Krishna consciousness. But when you start doing these things that are just like... His Holiness Jai Pataka Maharaj Ki.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. This is a very, very sensitive subject. And each time this topic is brought out, but you clarified the principle to please Krishna and to please Vaishnavas. I think we should keep that in mind. And not to hurt the Vaishnavas. This is for...
There are some senior devotees who have been really hurt badly by people acting wrongly and dancing. I won't mention names, But I know certain senior devotees who can't dance because, you know, other persons have caused them some difficulties. So we should be very careful.
This is to question to Holiness Bhakti Vishwambhu Madhava Maharaj. Among the scriptures, the Vedas are most authentic because they are Shrutis, the words of God. If Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then why is he not mentioned clearly the Vedas as supreme? And why these scriptures are so complicated and beyond the understanding of common man, with many contradictory verses, if they are the instruction manuals for a common man?
Yes, Gita Upanishad. Is there an instruction manual for the common man? Gita Upanishad. Yes, Bhagavad Gita. Eko Shastra Deviki Putra Gita. Eko Deva Putra Deviki Putra Meva. Eko Mantras Tasya Namani Ani. Tasya Seva. Yes, there is one. There's one mantra. Also, Eko Narayana Mahasid. There is one person, Narayana, the source of everyone. Na Brahma, na Rudra. There before everything, there was Eko Narayana Mahasid. So even in the Mool Vedas, that's there. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. So it is referring to by Lakshana. As far as Sri Krishna Chandra himself, the main pramanam we use, while Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and the source of all avatars, is the famous shloka, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. I think it's, what, 43? Ete chamsa kalapamsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam indrari vyakulam alokam mridayanti yuge yuge. So that shloka, Shukadeva Goswami is quoting, that is the main pramanam that we've got, that although there may be so many scheduled incarnations with specific functions. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam. There is there in the Sanskrit very strongly. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam. That he is the original. And if you take from Krishnadas Kaviraj, Ekala Ishwara Krishna Arsabha Britya. That there is one Ishwara, Sri Krishna, and everyone else is Britya. Even up to Dauji, the first expansion of Krishna, is Britya. Everyone else is Britya. Even if they're Mahavishnu, like Advaita Acharya. He says that he's non-different. He's Advaita. And because he teaches how to serve the Lord, he's Acharya. He is the Lord, but he is the servant. Advaita Acharya is the servant. So all of them show Britya, how to serve. And Nityananda's bhava is to love Gauranga. Ek bar deke chake jal gaura bole sakai dens nitai dens sakala sambal. If Lord Nityananda sees this, the tear of eagerness in the eye of the chanter of Gaura's name, then he awards everything to that devotee. So this is the idea of the Ishwara as a Britya. Krishna expansions as Britya. But ete chamsa kala pungsa Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna's there. So this is the main pramanam we use. Of course, in Gita, matak paracharam nanyat, kinchidasti jananjaya. That there is no truth higher than me. Of course, Pundarik has one nice thing that I have, that I really relish. That it says, talosya naparam kinchit, daivatam jagatitale, yayapravitrato loko vishnu sangena vaishnava. In this world, of all the worshipable personalities, talosya naparam kinchit, you'll not find anything higher than her. Yaya, because of her, Pavitrato loko, the public become purified, Vishnu Sangena, and she awards them the association of her Prabhu, Vishnu, Vaishnava. The whole world turns to Vaikuntha. Therefore, behind every great man stands a greater woman, up to Narayana. Behind Krishna is Radha. Behind Narayana is his Lakshmi. Huh? And Tulsi. Behind Shalagram is Tulsi. So this is great. So behind the great stands the potency of the great. So who teaches us how to surrender and how to love the potency. So because they have not done pranipat, they have not served the potency of the Lord, then there may be this samshay, this doubt, that who is the Supreme? Who is the Supreme? They may doubt. But Bhagavatam mentions Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. This is the main thing. But Eko Narayana Masit. In the beginning, there was Narayana. There was no Brahma, there was no Rudra. There was only Narayana. So that is clear. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your sun-like instruction in removing the darkness. The next question is to Surya Saradhanath Maharaj. This is from a mother. When I correct my child, 4 years, he becomes violent and angry. He does not understand his mistake. How should I correct him in a way that he can understand?
Hare Krishna. I can only speak theoretical. I know the way I deal with naughty 4-year-old children. I leave them to their mothers. hoping that they know what they're supposed to do.
Their mothers know what to do.
But what is, in principle, what is important is in every aspect of our life, we try to see the immediate incident in relation to a holistic picture. When we're raising a child, it's not just at this moment what needs to be done. But we have to see that very much in relationship to the whole future of the child, to the whole development of the psychology, the emotions, and the faith of the child. If chastisement is prominent, and the chastisement is coming from a devotee of Krishna, if you're chanting japa and worshipping the deities and serving Vaishnavas, and you're very much chastising a small child, beyond the intellect, the experience that the child is going to take from that is Krishna's a very mean, cruel person. Because if this is what's coming from his devotees, they're going to connect that to Krishna. I know several children who are now in their mid-30s. When they were little children, when they would do naughty things, their parents would punish them by making them sit down and chant japa. And now when they're 30 years old, 35 years old, they practically cannot chant japa. Because every time they do, they just get this emotional internal turmoil that this is punishment. Intellectually, they know. They read the scriptures. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the best thing. But still, emotionally, they just kind of blocked out that this is punishment. And it's very painful for them to chant japa. So as the representatives of Krishna to that child, you have to give them the love of Krishna, the protection of Krishna, the encouragement of Krishna, the environment of Krishna conscious affection. And then when you chastise, if you have to chastise, it will be in that context. But as far as that particular 4-year-old child, whatever works best. But please do see the whole picture. We want to, whatever way we deal with our children now should be with the plan of imbibing within that child faith and love for Krishna when the child grows up. And you may also ask your counselor. They could give you good technical advice on the subject.
Thank you, Maharaj. Next question is to Chandramouli Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. One essential quality of Vaishnava.
Hari Hari, should we ask Srila Jai Patak Maharaj if he would like to answer a question?
Sure, Maharaj.
Maharaj, would you like to answer a question? Can we pass the wireless microphone to him? Hari, you could ask the question.
Hari.
Appropriate question.
One essential quality of Vaishnava is to be like salt, meaning the salt disappears but it leaves the taste. But I always desire that somehow my services can be recognized and appreciated. How can I develop a mood of unrecognized servant? How can I make sure that my service are not recognized?
How can my obeisances to the Divine Grace that I see Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who heart keep Rakharoti Vachalam Hangulangayate Girin Yatki Vata Hangvande Sri Guru Dhinathayana Paravanandara Sri Chaitanyeshwara. Well, I'm sorry that you don't feel recognized.
I'm sorry that you don't feel recognized.
Because in the third verse of the Shikshastika, it says, Anadena, Anadena, we should offer recognition and respect to everyone.
In the third verse of the Shikshastika, it says that we should offer respect to everyone.
We shouldn't expect anything for ourselves.
That we should not accept anything for ourselves.
Shouldn't expect.
We should not expect anything for ourselves.
If we expect something, then it's a cause for frustration if we don't get it. If we don't expect it, then it's easier when we don't get it.
If we expect something, then it's a cause for frustration when we don't get it. But if we don't expect it, then then there's no cause for frustration.
Of course, on the other hand, all the devotees should be offering, even though we don't expect it, we should be offering. Just like for some reason, Arnath Swami is always offering respect. I don't expect it. I'm just amazed. he's so humble, he's offering even someone like me respect.
We should always be offering, just but not expecting, just like Radhanath Swami is always offering respect to me, even though I don't expect it. He's so humble.
I don't know why he's offering to me.
I don't know why he's offering to me.
I'm just an insignificant servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada.
I'm just an insignificant servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada.
So, one secret is that if you offer respect to everybody else, you may get some respect back too.
One secret, if you offer respect to everyone else, you may get respect back too.
But if you offer expecting respect back, then you only get frustration. It's better to offer it sincerely to other people.
But if you offer expecting respect back, then you will get frustrated. Better to offer sincerely.
So, we want to offer our service such a way that Krishna's pleased. Vaishnavas are pleased. That's the gratification we want. That they'll be pleased. Not that we should get some appreciation for that service.
We want to offer respect so that Krishna is pleased, Vaishnavas are pleased. That is the gratification that we want, not something in return.
The Prabhupada, he would always offer respect. He said that, once he said, you are young people, and I am an old man, you are from the West. At that time most of the devotees were from the West. I am from India. That somehow we got so much love between us. That's because it's transcendental. Srila Prabhupada ki.
I got it. Good quite long. Once Prabhupada said that the I'm an old man, you're young. You're from the West, I'm from India. But there's so much love between us. Because it is transcendental. So Srila Prabhupada ki.
So,
thank you, Maharaj. So, coming to close to the time for Gaur Arti, I would like to conclude with one last question to His Holiness Bhaktivishwamba Mahatma Maharaj. Prabhupada has made remarks in his books like the Lord dictates from within. How does one understand this communion, this dictation, as at times the mind can play tricks?
Repeat it again. There was something you said that I couldn't understand.
Srila Prabhupada has made remarks in his books like the Lord dictates from within. How does one understand this communion, this dictation, as at times the mind can play tricks?
How do we understand this dictation as the minds?
Because sometimes the mind can play tricks too.
Because the mind plays tricks, Radhana Swami said. Therefore, how do we know it's real? Huh?
Guru Sadhu Shastra Vakya Tinete Koriya Aikya Arana Koriya Mani Ash. Narottam Thakur Mahasaya says this, that there are three aspects of Pramanam. Guru Pramanam, Shastra Pramanam, and Sadhu Pramanam. Chittete Koriya Aikya. These three things make up my intelligence or my consciousness, and Arana Koriya Mani Ash. I don't want anything else to be there. So, Hridayeshe Arjuna Tishtati, the Supreme Lord is situated within the heart, Chaita Guru, as the instructor. Generally, the Supreme Lord protects his devotee by Shastra Pramanam. Yada yada di ad to urugai vibhavayanti tad tad vibhu pranayase sarunugrahaya. Third canto, chapter 9, verse 11. Whatever the devotee contemplates, tad tad vipu pranayase, that very form he'll manifest. Saranugrahaya, out of his causes mercy. That saranugraha, the mercy of the Supreme Lord, is three. Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says there in his Sarartha Darshani. First, he comes as the pramanam to protect the devotee whenever they have some burning need. Why doesn't he come every day? This Vishwanath Chakravarti also mentions in 10th canto, chapter 32, verse 20, that yatha dana labda vinaste tat chintayan yan nibrato naveda. Because when the gopis asked him, O stubborn one, please reciprocate our love, tell us the nature of friendship, the Supreme Lord described three different kinds of friends. And then he says, but the main reason I don't reciprocate the love of those who worship me, O gopis, is that I wish to increase that love. They become like a person who had some money and they lost it. And they can only think about that lost money again and again. And in his Sarartha Darshani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says, the devotee thinks, Krishna used to speak to me in the heart. He used to dictate to me and he hasn't come lately. So what have I done? So the devotee chastised himself again and again, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. And Krishna, he's just sitting back and watching and smiling. When the pain is so great, the devotee thinks that how will Krishna come again? When will he show his mercy again? When the devotee feels so bereft of that, then Krishna will come and give a little darshan. Tabaswalpa spurti pai ugratapa dure jai. Lila bhanga hoyanayase, Thakur said. If Krishna will manifest even a slight of his mercy, then all types of horrible sufferings go away. Even the form of the suffering is destroyed. So the first thing Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad said is Krishna's anugraha, his mercy is Shastra Pramanam. And of course, Svabhakyavasyata in Madhurya Kadambani, end of the first chapter, he likes his mercy to be subordinate to the mercy of his devotee. So the next Pramanam he'll come is Guru Pramanam or Sadhu Pramanam. Sadhu Pramanam means basically a local devotee. Your local ashraya, who you love and trust. The Supreme Lord will come in that form of that devotee to educate you, to protect you. So you will, if you get any idea, intuition in the heart that we should do it. Gita mentions in the Sura Asura Vibhag, the 16th chapter, the last shloka, 24, Tasmat Chastra Pramanam Te Karya Akarya Vyavastiti. The discrimination is, what is Shastra Praman? Gyatva Shastra Vedanuktam. When you understand what is spoken in the Shastram, Karma Kartumi Harasi, you deserve to act in that way so you may be so elevated. So the first thing is Shastra Pramanam. Now suppose you don't know the Shastra. Suppose you don't know. Like Gayatri Mantartha Dipika, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad told the story about, how do I understand the Kam Gayatri? 24 and a half chandras, 24 and Ardha chandra of Krishna. When I counted, Vishwanath said, I count 25 syllables. But my predecessor, Acharya, Krishnadas, must not have been wrong. So what is the value of my life if I cannot understand? So he wanted to do bhavas on the bank of Radhakunda. But Sriji did not like it that her maidservant will think that way. So she came in his dream in the middle of the night in Radhakunda and said, your predecessor is my manjari. He found it in this particular Vyakarana. The answer is in this particular Vyakarana, Radhika told him. There you will find, and this is the rule, the sandhi, the rule in Sanskrit. Radhika told him, this is the rule. Now tomorrow, you find in the library this Vyakarana, this grammar book, you will find the rule. Now give up your fasting and lamentation now, she insisted. Not later, now. So Sri Krishna, or his Radhika, or your Ashraya Vigraha, your Supreme Lord, when you're in trouble, they come running. As Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Say Bhaktya Danya, Yena Chari Prabhura Charana. Great is that, wealthy is that devotee who never gives up his master. Say Prabhu Danya, great is that master, Nahi Chari Nidajana, who never gives up his own man. And Yari Sevaka Patita, Yaya Anya Stane, Say Thakura Danya, Yaya Chule Darayane. If that servant somehow falls down and goes to another place, great is that master who goes and grabs him by the hair and brings him back. So how does he bring him back? Through the Shastra Pramanam, primarily. If you don't know the Shastra, Krishna will come. Krishna or Radhika, your Swamini, your Swami, your Ishtadeva, he'll personally come and he'll give. He'll give. They'll come. They'll give. Huh? Or he will come in the form of your god brother, your god sister, who you have love and trust. They'll come. And if they're not there, then he'll come directly in the heart. Prabhupada mentions that in Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, verse 10. Tesham evanukam partam aham agyane jamtama nashayami. 11. Yes, you're right. 11. Next verse. 10:11. Aham agyane jamtama nashayami. I'll destroy. Gyana dipena bhajvata. Prabhupada said in the purport there, even if you don't have much association with your spiritual master or shastra, Sri Krishna will not allow darkness to remain in the heart of the devotee. He'll come personally. He'll come personally. So this is, first is Shastra Pramanam. The second is Sadhu Pramanam or Guru Pramanam. And if he can't, he'll come directly. Now the question appears to be, if suppose you get that little voice in the heart, how do you know it is really Sri Krishna or some mental fabrication? If you can find Shastra Pramanam, Guru Pramanam, and Sadhu Pramanam to corroborate that little statement, that intuition you're getting in the heart, then you know it should be real. And then to test it, you go to your authority and you say, I had this dream. I had this idea. What do you think? Just like in the early days, Govinda Das, he said, I had this dream, Srila Prabhupada, like this. Now, when I had this dream of you on the stage in front of Sankirtan, you can hear her voice, the young Govinda Dasi, and Prabhupada goes, I like that. Sometimes he said, dreaming about the spiritual master, in the presence of the spiritual master, but this is an example, he goes, I like that. So you go to your authority, or like Gauranga, when he was feeling the ecstasies of Hare Krishna chanting, he asked Ishwara Puri, Guru Maharaj, is this correct? Yes, my child, my dear Vatsa, you go on and chant this Hare Krishna and develop this ecstasy. Gauranga asked Ishwara Puri for confirmation. So if your authority is there, you immediately tell him. You immediately ask your authority. And if not, then Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. This is how you can verify whether something is genuine or a mental concoction. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. I'm sure there are many other questions. But since we have now Gaur Aarti and a very beautiful pantomime show waiting for us, so for those devotees who have sent their questions, if we have a session tomorrow, we'll take it up. Otherwise, you have to take shelter of Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra to get it clarified.